You are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. My guests in studio this morning is Ivy Friedman and Steve Singer. Ivy, originally from Montana in the US, moved to Canada a few years back and has made Waterloo her home. She, along with her family, moved to the neighborhood not knowing anyone, but were immediately met with warm welcome and three of their closest neighbors. As the president of Beechwood Parks Home Association, her love for this community has only grown. Steve Singer, 69-year-old, has an undergraduate degree in political science and economics from University of Toronto and an MBA from the University of Western Ontario. He is Beechwood Park Association. He's been associated with them and been actively involved, has been a president twice, currently writes and edits the neighborhood newsletter and runs the summer produce stand, and he's been doing this for over 30 years. As a president, he was involved in several internal and external issues that threaten the neighborhood. So thank you so much, Steve and Ivy, for coming in studio this morning. It's a pleasure having you both. Thank you.
Pleasure thank to be
you.
Here.
Thank you, Rashmi.
You've been in the community a long time. Steve has been 30-odd years, and Ivy, you've been there with the community for over 13 years. Before we get into what community is all about, give us a little history about Beechwood and the association that you've been associated with.
The Beechwood community was a brilliant idea back in the 60s of a developer named Abe Wiebe and his wife Dorothy. It was started in the 60s. It won all kinds of Canadian National Urban Development Awards. And basically, he began a neighborhood association in 1968. He took two lots and built tennis courts and a pool and rec center, and then literally gave it to the neighborhood to run in perpetuity with deeded covenants that required people who moved into the neighborhood to become members, and those covenants lasted for 40 years. So it was a brilliant idea. The community center became this vehicle for people getting together, having a common goal in building community. I mean, our children had their learned to swim there. Mm-hmm. They made their friends there. And so it's been a great community to live in. And then they duplicated that 12 times. So today in Waterloo, there's 12 Beechwoods in West Waterloo, probably encompassing a couple thousand families who create their own recreational experiences and social experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just want to say last year was Beechwood Park's 50th anniversary.
Yes.
And so we celebrated that. Also, Abram Wiebe's wife, Dorothy Wiebe, had a huge impact on the entire Beechwood area, because if you go through, just walking through the area, a number of the houses were designed by Dorothy Wiebe and her company, Vintage Homes.
Mm-hmm. How has community, what does it mean to you and to Ivy and Steve? Throw this out to both of you. What does community mean to you from the years you've been in this neighborhood and seen what's gone on? There's a lot of history behind where things are today, and 50 years is a long time, where the community started off as a farmland before, and then things just kept growing from there.
Well, you know, I'm an old soul. I've always been a nostalgic kind of individual. You know, I've lived by the principle that small is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, historically, if you go back in time, the village was really the center of people's life. And as you moved up from the village to the county to the city to the province, it was that order. But the village was really the key to the social and economic health of the community. And I think today we've kind of reversed it a bit, where people look to the, you know, we have the election going on, everybody's tuned in to what's going on with programs and promises federally and provincially. But there's, in my opinion, being a nostalgic, I hearken back to that time mm-hmm. when the village or the community was really the main driver of what people were interested in. And so to a certain extent, using the Beechwood Park model, the rec center and that, we, along with many others, have tried to replicate that kind of old-fashioned living. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's amazing that, you know, in this era of computers and technology, you know, people sometimes deride old-fashioned things, firecrackers on Victoria Day, a soapbox derby, a talent show, a barbecue. But really, when you get right down to it, those things resonate with a lot of people. And so that's what community means to me. I think it really gives people, especially in this era of globalization. And so, you know, Maclean's magazine wrote an article back, it was the head in 2014, it says, it was called Stop Ignoring Your Neighbors. And, you know, it talks about this demise of trust in neighborhoods. If I can quote one part, it says, more than 30% of Canadians now say they feel disconnected from their neighbors, while half of Americans admit they don't know the names of theirs. Well, I can unequivocally say that that's not the case in Beechwood Park.
Well, and I think, so, and that's what makes us very unique, is the foresight of Abram Wiebe had that in mind. So when he created these communities, his company, Major Holdings, they specifically designed the area to make sure it didn't have roadway, too many roads running through the neighborhood. It's closed off, so there aren't those main arteries, so there isn't a lot of traffic, so it keeps the communities close. He also made sure to keep the tree canopy, and so it's quieter. The community's quieter, and you don't have the distracting noises around you, so you can stop and talk to your neighbor. You can get out. And I think that's what has really created the community for me, is being able to get to know your neighbor, feeling like it's a safe place, because there isn't a lot of traffic running through the neighborhood at high speeds. My kids can go out and play. I'm happy to let them go out and play. I encourage them to go out and play. I don't have to feel afraid that there's going to be a car coming around the corner or too many people,
It feels safe.
And it is. It's a safety. It's a connection. You get your, there's a lot of connections with the community, getting to know them. And I think that really makes a community for me, just knowing the neighbors and feeling safe in the neighborhood.
For sure.
The other thing people don't realize sometimes about Beechwood is that Abe Wiebe built much more than the residential high-end community of Beechwood Park. Mm-hmm. He built a low-income housing in the area. He built apartment buildings. He built Westbound Plaza. Mm-hmm. So he, in fact, the original plan was to have industry where the University of Waterloo was, but the university needed that land. And so he sold it to them back in 1957. Right. So his idea was to make this, his ideas were revolutionary and 50 years ahead of its time, because before the buzzwords of affordable housing and you know, different income levels living side by each in the neighborhood, he was doing it by building these different types of housing, townhouses, apartments. And so, and not depending on the car, he hated cars. And as Ivy was saying in Design in the Neighborhoods, he said walking is the mode of transportation. Absolutely. So he built shopping and stores close by so that people who couldn't afford cars, particularly, would be able to access shopping and not live in urban desert. So I think Abe Wiebe's vision was much greater than just our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He created a community and promoted all these values that today are becoming very important, you know, biking and affordable housing and, you know, and you see it at Keatsway School.
Yes.
I mean, you see this coming together of kids from different backgrounds, different ethnic, different income levels. And I think it's so valuable for everyone to have that, you know, and not cloister oneself within our own, you know, gated type
cubby
of community. So he did a lot to promote community.
And he also donated that land where we could build and have that rec center in.
Yeah, I mean, where would you see that? Where would a developer today take two very valuable housing lots, 293 and 295 Shakespeare, and build a tennis courts, build a rec center, and give them to the community? It doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and he did it 12 times. So, you know, he gave up that income because I think his Mennonite background coming from rural Manitoba informed some of his philosophies of what living should be, community should be. And so, you know, he was a unique individual and we owe him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and those community centers, those facilities, they create a meeting space for families.
Sure.
And that's where you see families in the summer, that they are at the produce stand, they're at the pool, on the tennis courts, they're meeting outside of their homes.
Mm-hmm. The ongoing urbanization and isolation, do you think community today, it's losing its connections? Not just talking about Beechwood, but on a broader perspective, with all the technology and high-rise buildings and people being to themselves, isolation seems to be playing a huge part in people's lives these days. And so what is your take on that?
So I think there is a lot of isolation, but I also think that we're finding connections in different places.
Mm-hmm.
I think social media plays into that. I think the Beechwoods and the Beechwood area is unique in that it's more of a traditional, conventional connection. But I think people are finding connections outside of their neighborhood as well. And I think we have to stay open-minded and flexible and optimistic. I really think it's just making sure that you say hi to your neighbor.
You go out
and you go out. Yeah, really. It's a civic responsibility. I think as individuals, we need to create those connections as our civic responsibility.
And it takes an effort from each one of us, right, to do that.
Right.
So, and Steve, what would you say?
I would say I like Ivy. I'm very positive. I mean, we're not the only community doing wonderful things. You know, I was just talking to the counselor for Ward 7 in Waterloo, Tennille Bonnegar, and she was telling us about the music porch parties that they hold in their neighborhood. So, I mean, I think there's certainly that isolation occurs. The bigger the city, I think the more that is occurring. But it's certainly things, as we'd like to talk about today, is there are strategies and tactics for breaking down that sense of isolation, Rashmi, that you talked about, that we can talk about. You know, it's hard work to build community.
It is.
You know, for Ivy and I think we're very similar. We sort of are interested in people in our area. In fact, I was telling a funny story before we came on the air. When my grandkids come from Toronto, they're always so exasperated when we walk around the block because a 15-minute walk takes an hour because I'm talking to all our neighbors and, you know, asking about how they're doing and what their kids are up to. And I'm generally really interested, and they know that, although sometimes I think they cross the street purposely just to get away from me if they're in a hurry. But you know, Ivy said one day, you know, how do you build community? Just smile and say hello to your neighbors.
For sure.
It's
and
as
that's
easy
the
as
kind
that
of environment I grew up in, too, back in India. That's what we did. We got together, and every time we stepped out of the house, we knew there's no 2 minutes or 10 minutes where you'll come back home, because a conversation, you meet 10 other people along the way, and it ends up being an hour, 2 hours conversation, and then my mom's freaking out. Where are you?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's true. I'm the type of guy, I think we were talking about this, you know, I'll go in a high-rise elevator, and instead of staring at the buttons with people, I'll turn to them, and they might feel a little uncomfortable. I'll say, how are you doing? How's your day? I don't, you know, or on a subway or on a bus, I'll engage people. So, and Ivy's the same way, and many people in our community, and it breaks down that feeling of isolation, and And, you know, you generate this feeling of trust.
And comfort. Just and comfort. If you smile at somebody, if you're standing in the checkout line at the grocery store, if you smile at somebody and just say hi, it's amazing the conversation you might end up having with whoever is behind the counter or next to you in line. And that happens continuously. I think if you are approachable and you and people sense that they can approach you and say hi or ask how your day is, that's going to lead to that conversation and break down that feeling of isolation. And just, it makes people's day. They love to have somebody say hi to them. And you can see it. It radiates on them.
Absolutely.
That somebody took the time to say hello and ask them how they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, you know, this is kind of an interesting sideline, but when you talk to people, you kind of get an idea of who they are and what they do and what mm-hmm. what they're interested in, what their skill set is. There's a lady named Zita Cobb. Your listeners might have heard of her. She's created a very famous inn in Newfoundland called Fogo Island Inn. And Zita Cobb came from Fogo Island in Newfoundland and became a very successful tech entrepreneur and wanted to give back to her local community, which was a cod fishing community. But she had this idea, just as we have the rec center as a vehicle for community development, her idea was to create this inn as a vehicle for building what she called economic nutrition mm-hmm. in Fogo Island. And as part of that philosophy, she promotes what she calls her ABCD view of community development, asset-based community development. And by asset, she means human capital. Mm-hmm. And so within any neighborhood, and we found this, there's a tremendous array of talent that people are willing to share. Somebody's good at building. Mm-hmm. Somebody's a lawyer and good at legal matters. Somebody is good at finance. Somebody's good at giving parties. You have all these different skills.
You got to bring them all together.
That's right. And so Zita Cobb found that when she built the inn, mm-hmm. Her basic philosophy was, why would I buy furniture for the inn from Italy when I have local cod fishermen who built wooden boats for 300 years? They can certainly build the furniture for my inn. And the ladies who built woolen socks for the fishermen who knitted them, they can certainly weave the blankets and make the comforters and do the artwork for the inn. And similarly for us, so many times in our 50 years, we wanted to build a gazebo, for example. Mm-hmm. We had two engineers, John Holmes and Rob Phillips, who had worked for BlackBerry and were retired. They did the whole project. They got the building permit.
Beautiful.
They designed it. They built it. The community helped with the building of it, but they did it. So there's so many examples of where you use the people's skills within your neighborhood, but you only find that out by walking around and talking to them mm-hmm. and engage and building relationships, and then that makes a community much, much stronger and much more self-reliant, less dependent on the municipal governments for our well-being. You know, we had a meeting last year with the city about some issues relating to our neighborhood association. And the first thing out of their mouths was how self-reliant the Beechwood Park community is, how they appreciate how we look after our affairs and do everything without requiring a lot of help from the city. Mm-hmm. They're very supportive when we need their help, but we're not too reliant on them and because we have our own capabilities.
Absolutely. And you've started a community newsletter that also connects people in different ways. So engaging community through having kids involved in different activities and having this newsletter, where did that idea of newsletter come up?
Well, just a long time ago, 20 years ago when I was president, I wanted to keep the community informed about what was going on. Really becoming a cheerleader for everything that kids and adults do. And we've got to remember that not all of our community are members of our association. We have 400 homes, but only maybe 150 are members. Mm-hmm. But the newsletter was a vehicle for keeping all 400 informed. And so, you know, if I can read a little bit, you know, I mean, we celebrate all kinds of things. So here's a poem by an 11-year-old Lucas Midwood that was in one of our newsletters. On a stormy day, the significant salty sea was swirling. In the stinky shallow area, a scary shark was snacking, and a seashell was sinking. A sassy, selfish seal was speeding with a skier. So, you know, the newsletter has all kinds of parts to it. You know, we have, we welcome the new neighbors to our community. We recognize births and marriages and significant, you know, events. One time we wrote about someone who had passed away in our community, Eric Gauman, who was very important to our community. I don't know if I can, Ivy, if you want to.
Well, and I was just going to say, the newsletter is such an important part of our community. We've had families move into the area because they found one of Steve's newsletters on our website, and reading through the newsletter, they said, we have to move into this community. And that's what Sue and Wayne Edwards did. They read this newsletter and moved into the neighborhood and have become incredibly involved in the community. And it all started with reaching out, with having this news and events about the community, showing how involved the community is, showing the events that are happening, and just what kind of area that Beechwood is.
Mm-hmm. And she's right. We had right across the road, Kelly and David, they've been there a couple of years. And I remember being out on the driveway one day when they were being shown the house. And they had a nice little family, and I could see the real estate agent showing them the house. And I ran over and gave them a copy of the newsletter and explained a couple of things about where the rec center was. Mm-hmm. And later, after they bought the house, Kelly said to me, you know, in that copy, there was an article about Diggy the dog, owned by a local resident who had passed away. Mm-hmm. And Diggy used to wander the neighborhood. And she said, any neighborhood that recognizes the passing of a dog and writing about it in the newsletter is a place that we would like to live in.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and one thing about, and again, you know, I was saying before, I'm an old soul. I'm a little bit of a Luddite in terms of technology, for those of you, you know, but we print this 400 copies on paper. It is posted on our website for people to read, but we have street reps that voluntarily deliver this on paper to 400 homes. Mm-hmm. And because we know that they read it much more readily if it's on paper than on the computer, where they get so much email every day.
Well, and they look forward to it. People ask, well, when is the next newsletter coming out? It comes out in the spring and the fall, and they wait. They wait for the mm-hmm. newsletter.
And it takes a lot of effort to put that newsletter together, too. So, absolutely. Steve, like, on your part, too, it's a huge intake of, you know, all the information you need to collect to get going. And I have to say, it takes a lot on the person who's doing it, too, to have that dedication and interest in wanting to give back to the community in some way.
Well,
as
you.
Much as we all look forward to having it, it does play a huge part.
Well, and for 20 years, like, that's
a long time.
That's commitment. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, but it's a vehicle for, as Ivy was saying before, creating trust, mm-hmm. creating communication between mm-hmm. neighbors, you know.
And what are the things the association has been involved in, and how has the community given back? They've been involved in a lot of other activities in giving back to other associations as well. So how has Beechwood Association been involved that way?
In several ways. Biggest example I can think of is actually through the produce stand that Steve and Dolores and Jan started, because they... Each year, they give a donation to the local schools and back to Beechwood Park Homes Association. But then beyond that, when at the end of each day of the produce stand, they take the leftover food and give it to local charities, the food bank. Steve could speak more on this. But we also, working with the City of Waterloo, we create grants that are not just for the association, but neighborhood-wide. So we've done several in the last few years. There was a bike clinic that involved the entire community where people could come in, learn about bicycling safety, repairs. We did a tree giveaway. So for the 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. we received a grant from the City of Waterloo as well as the Neighborhood Matching Funds grant. And we received 50 trees with a lot of help from John's Nursery. And 50 people in the neighborhood, the entire neighborhood of Beechwood, if they wanted, received a tree that they could plant to help maintain the tree canopy. And so it's thinking forward. It's thinking about how our actions of today are going to affect the future. So those are some examples. I don't know, Steve, you could probably talk more about
the produce stand. You've been quite involved on the produce stand. Yeah.
And a lot of advocacy.
A lot of advocacy. I can get it. Getting back to the human capital part, just for a second, you know, I brought, just as an example, last week, we have a lot of artists in our community. Mm-hmm. And last week, a gentleman named Joe Wyatt, who used to be the curator at the University of Waterloo Museum, had an art show. He called it Unit 17 because he lives in Unit 17 of his condo. And then this week, I got dropped off a flyer for a butterfly art show and sale in our neighborhood. We had a family move here from Turkey last year, and the Octay is a world-famous butterfly collector. Wow. And so they're having a butterfly show in our area next week. So, you know, you have all these wonderful people that use the Beechwood Association as a vehicle to promote and you know, their talents. So it's really, and again, you know, in part we act as cheerleaders for all our residents who mm-hmm. do all these special, wonderful activities.
And it's all their volunteer time that they put in too, to yes. be involved
it
in
is.
This, right? Which is huge. And
we have a huge number of volunteers. If you go through our neighborhood and just walk down the street, the number of volunteers mm-hmm. that are involved, and it's really what makes us unique, makes us special, gives us the gazebo, gives us all of these things that take time and skills and effort, and it's through volunteers and asking somebody who has a talent if they will be involved, and they always say yes. It's such a community of generous, like-minded people. So yeah. We're very, very lucky.
There was an article in the KW Record last year by Troy Glover. He's a professor of the Department of Recreation and Leisure at University of Waterloo. And it's called Waterloo Region Cries Out for Tactical Urbanism. Mm-hmm. And if I can summarize it, you know, my philosophy is sometimes ready, fire, aim is better than ready, aim, fire. So, you know, better to ask forgiveness than
Absolutely.
Permission. There's various ways of, but that's what he's talking about. He's talking about if a community has an idea, whether it's a porch party or a produce stand or a community festival, as Nike says, just do it.
Just do it.
You know,
yep.
Tactical urbanism. Mm-hmm. And because everybody has these ideas and you build community. So when we had this idea for the produce stand, which actually, ironically, we got from your husband, Sanjay, when he worked for the Region of Public Health back in 2007, Dolores Penner and I thought, what a wonderful way of creating the village square idea. Mm-hmm. You know, again, this idea back in the old days where there were villages and a square where there was the well and local businesses and people came and children played. You know, that was the vision we wanted to create. And so we use the produce stand to do that. And it sounds hokey in a way, and you say, well, people, you know, they like to buy their produce stand, but that's what it is. It's not a village square. But I brought with me a little thank you note that Cherry Watson, one of our longtime residents, Cherry's probably 80 years old, lived here for 45 years.
Oh, wow.
And she wrote this Christmas note to me, and it said, talking about the newsletter and the produce stand, your newsletter is a literary delight, full of useful and interesting information. It really gives one a deep sense of community and an appreciation for how fortunate we all are to live in such a lovely area. The fruit and vegetable market is a perfect set gathering spot to meet friends and exchange news and jokes. So, you know, I always joke that if you buy produce, if you don't stay and talk, it costs you one price. But if you stay and chat with your neighbors, we'll give you a discount. It's kind of a joke. We don't do that, but that's the way we feel.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, this tactical urbanism, mm-hmm. and these projects that you do, whether it's in Beechwood, you can do these anywhere, really. And they work.
And it involves a lot of the community. And with the produce stand, it's all ages. You have volunteers from 12 to, you know, 80. Like, so many different ages and backgrounds get involved and help. So with the volunteering, I think going back to thinking about the number of volunteers, the projects that we've been able to complete that are the area wide, you are very visible. So you see that Clear Lake is, a lot of people spend a lot of their time walking by Clear Lake. It's a special place, but it has taken community volunteers to advocate, to keep that maintained, to keep Clear Lake what it is, and a meeting place, a place for people to sit and think and just enjoy the surrounding.
And be with that nature, because we seem to be losing a lot of greenery, the green space, mm-hmm. and that provides a beautiful space. It's beautiful.
And the area has that. They have the mature trees. They have the Clear Lake as a central focal point.
Yeah, I think I can't stress enough this idea of human capital. You know, I listed down here a few of the people in our neighborhood with skills who have helped us over the years. For example, Gary Hauser, a lawyer in town. When we had problems with people wanting to put a student house in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. Gary would draft a legal letter explaining the obligations that they undertook when they bought the house, mm-hmm. and you know, prevent them from putting in a student house. I mentioned John Holmes and Rob Phillips building the gazebo. Dick Schnarr is an interesting story. He passed away recently at 88, but Dick used to be the secretary treasurer of Budd Automotive, a huge manufacturing company in town. And Dick never wanted to serve on the board, but he was do special projects. Mm-hmm. And he was wonderful with finance and with the processes involved in the board. And so when I was president and I thought our property taxes were too high, Dick did a whole application to the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, the whole thing. And in 2 years, our property taxes went from $4,000 to $1,600.
Wow.
I could go on and on. But Dick, you know, he was 70 years old at the time, but he had skills. He believed in the neighborhood, and he wanted to do this. Brian Dixon, a biology professor at the University of Waterloo, when the city was thinking about taking out Clear Lake, he formed a committee, and it took us 8 years. But we maintained and refurbished Clear Lake under Brian's leadership.
Right.
Bruce Frain, we needed a bread maker for our produce stand.
Yes, I couldn't.
We wanted to sell bread at our produce stand. We put out an email. Bruce is a professor of environment and international studies at University of Waterloo. His passion is sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is a rock star in our neighborhood now.
That's right.
He makes 35 loaves a week. In 45 minutes, it's gone. Wayne Edwards, an actuary. when we have issues of analyzing membership and demographics and how we should plan for the future. His actuarial skills of analysis come into play. And so, you know, some of us, myself, I'm a community activist and community hope developer like Ivy. I mean, and so, you know, everybody has this, these wonderful skills that all it takes is to activate. You know, someone said once, what prevents somebody from volunteering? And you know what the answer is? They haven't been asked.
True.
If you've in my experience and Ivy's experience, if you ask somebody to volunteer for something worthwhile, 9 times out of 10, if they have the time, they'll do it.
Absolutely.
And so it's just a matter of asking.
And sometimes, even if you don't get asked, there's so much information out there, and talking to different neighbors, again, it comes down to that, right? Communication and speaking to people. Who knows? Someone mentions, oh, this is what I'm doing and I've been a volunteer. Can I join? You know, it just takes that one initiative too from each of us to be involved in the community and be a part of it.
Absolutely. And it's contagious. It really is. If you show an interest and you are excited about your community, your neighbor gets excited. If mm-hmm. they get excited, the person across the street gets excited. And I think
it's a domino effect.
It is. It's reciprocal and it's contagious. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and the skills that we have are not just adult. I mean, kids. And the newsletter, we have a section where we advertise kids' jobs. Mm-hmm. Kids who want to shovel driveways. Kids who want to dog walk. Kids who want to babysit. Kids who want to tutor. You know, we have all of these skills that children have. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many jobs they get. Yeah, and I know one of your children, I know, helps to look after a child in the community in the summer who has a physical and intellectual mm-hmm. handicap. Mm-hmm. I see them walking around the block. And for me, that's wonderful. Again, it's using, whether it's an adult or a child, it's using the skills. We don't have to hire a landscaping company when Daniel Marshall has a lawnmower and lives on Mohawk, or Oscar Udelson has a blower and a lawnmower and can do for a senior in our community, can do that. Absolutely. You know, so it's, again, it's this connecting people together who have different needs and who want to do things. And mm-hmm. whether it's a newsletter or a produce stand or just talking on the street, like Ivy and says, it's contagious, and it becomes something that just has a life of its own.
And you have also been involved in issues that have threatened the neighborhood, like the student housing, the high-rise development. So tell me a little about that.
Well, that's the flip side. You know, we've talked about the positive ways of building community.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing about having this connectivity and knowing your neighbors and is that when there is a threat to your community, and there will be threats to anybody's community over 40, 50 years, that you have a vehicle for mobilizing to deal with it. So, for example, in 1987, there was a developer who was going to build a high-rise apartment building and shadow many of the homes in one part of our neighborhood. And we created a committee, again, using the human capital, mm-hmm. urban planners, architects, lawyers, concerned citizens, people who knew people on council. And we fought and we won, and we lowered that the density and the form of that to a 5-story building. We also led the, again, generally I would say, you know, Hillel, the famous Jewish philosopher, said, if I am not for myself, who am I? But if I am only for myself, what am I? If not now, when? Mm-hmm. It's a very, very concise phrase. What it means to me is you have to look after yourself and your community, but you also have to look after the greater good of Kitchener-Waterloo. You know, if I am only for myself, what am I? That's mm-hmm. not good either. And then if not now, when? Meaning action speaks louder than words. Say little, do much. It's a saying. Mm-hmm. And so I think our community has been a very activist community, not only helping ourselves, but helping the city when we need to, mm-hmm. to do what's right. And the student housing was a good example of that, where communities were being threatened by the lodging house model of housing students. Mm-hmm. And in 2003, they came out with the heightened density report, which was going to leave the lodging house model in play. And we led the campaign to change the paradigm and change the philosophy. And because we basically said to the city, we are a smart city. We are a knowledge-based city. When people move here, whether they're professors or whether they're tech people or business people, they want authentic communities to live in like ours. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense to degradate that through lodging houses sprinkled throughout our communities and create student ghettos like you see in most university towns around the province, Queens, McMaster, Western. In fact, I would say because of our neighborhood association, we are probably one of the only communities in Ontario that's still a community and not a student housing ghetto. Mm-hmm. Because we're able, again, getting back to the idea of self-reliance, mm-hmm. mobilizing, using our skills to protect ourselves. And so the city, we give them a lot of credit. Greg Romanek was the head of planning, Cameron Rapp. They agreed with that, and they changed the model. And so now we have what we see, high rises on Columbia, this density of student development, mm-hmm. and neighborhoods can build authentic communities. And so, you know, that was sort of in a nutshell what we did. It took a lot of work. Over a year and a half, 2 years working with the city, just like we did with Clare Lake and the high rise and mm-hmm. Just different things that we've been involved in. You know, no man is an island, no man stands alone. And the same with communities.
What are the long-term plans for the committee? Where do you see this growing?
The association itself, the long-term plans are really maintenance. We have a facility that's 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And so our grounds, our pool is 50 years old. So our biggest project in the next few years will be to figure out how we're going to maintain or replace a 50-year-old pool.
Mm-hmm. So with new families moving into the neighborhood, and there's been a lot of them, you know, who just moved in the last 2-3 years, how can they be involved with the association besides just a membership fee?
And we're seeing them get involved. Mm-hmm. For the number of new families that have moved in, and a lot of them are young families, they have young kids, and they are immediately asking, how can I get involved?
That's fantastic.
We have a neighbor, Dorothy, who the minute she arrived, she wanted to help with the produce stand. We have another, Allison, who she was emailing the association and asking how she could be involved before she even moved into their house. So mm-hmm. The energy is there, and it's the asking. Like Steve said, if we ask, chances are those families are going to come forward and offer their skills that mm-hmm. they have. We've already had, you know, new members interested in what the board does, how they can get involved. And so I think just really staying in communication with the members and with the families who are moving in and with the entire area, not just our members, because it's a whole community outside of just the association. And so we want to really capture everybody, and I really think it's asking and communicating. The newsletter is a great tool for that. We often will bring responses in from families who aren't members of the association itself. The newsletter ends up getting passed on to other associations, mm-hmm. and they contact us asking, well, how can we work together? So it's not just Beechwood Park Association,
limited to this group.
But we're starting to talk to Beechwood South, Beechwood North, and see how we can work with them and through collaborations, through grants, through activities. So we're seeing more and more of that, and it, a lot of it's asking. Mm-hmm. And
you know, it's Ivy was talking about Allison, a new member
yes.
from Lionsgate. she's actually written in the 50th anniversary book, if I can read, what her and her husband moved in about a year ago. We are relatively new to the Beechwood community, having just moved into the area in May 2018. Although we had heard amazing things about the neighborhood, it wasn't until we had moved in that we truly understood our good fortune. From the warmth from neighbors upon our arrival to the welcome package sent to us by the BPHA, along with the many social and neighborhood events, we truly feel part of a very special community. Allison and Shane LaRue. And now, as Ivy said, Allison has volunteered to be the co-pool director next year.
Wonderful.
And so, you know, there was another new neighbor, Malcolm and Dominique. They moved in with two young girls, a year ago. And they had, it was really interesting at the produce stand. He loves the produce stand, Malcolm. And he came and he said, you know, we're not going to be here for a few weeks in August because we booked a trip. We didn't realize about the rec center and how wonderful it is. He said, next year we are not booking a trip. We'll just use the rec center as our holiday.
Fabulous.
I mean, we have a neighbor, Gary and Mary Hauslander, who old-time neighbors from 1970. And they had a place, a summer cottage in Monterra in Collingwood. And they have a beautiful home and garden in our neighborhood on Mohawk. And they had to decide, are we going to move, like many people, to Collingwood in our senior years? And they sold Monterra. They said, this is our cottage. This is our home. This is what we love. And so they sold the Collingwood property. And they love living in the community. And
great.
I think Ivy has done so much. You know, I tell this story about when she came back from sabbatical with Uri, and it was like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. She just loved getting home from France. And as president of our neighborhood association, she has just done so much to engender this enthusiasm for volunteering.
Absolutely.
For the Beechwood Association and getting that next generation of young people who are involved. Mm-hmm. And she really is to be applauded. She really is a wonderful individual that really is genuinely interested in her neighbors and her neighborhood.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you both in studio and sharing this wonderful work you both have been doing in this community. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's really a community effort.
Tune in to CKMS 102.7. You can also listen online on www.radiowaterloo.ca. And if you have a story you want to share, you can email me on air with rushme@gmail.com, or you can even follow me on my Facebook page in Conversation with Rushme, or my Instagram feed at @RashSanj. Until then, have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for listening in Conversation with Rushme.